Her new novel tackles a theme that is rather familiar to myself, perhaps to you as well. It's that thing called ageing. The book is called Mutton. It's, of course, written by India Knight, who joins me now. Morning, India.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you. Thank you for coming in. You tweeted yesterday, because I said that I'd been reading your book.
Yeah.
You said that it might be a bit of an awkward conversation if I didn't really like it very much.
Yeah, I'd have to go quiet and silent, which isn't really ideal for radio. And also, you're not the target audience. You know, the target audience is really women in that, well, kind of more women than men, because it's about female vanity and anxiety, I think, rather more than about male vanity.
Right. Well,
but you may be terribly vain, I don't know.
I don't think I'm terribly vain, but I do have a bone to pick with you about this book. So I'm sat on the plane and I'm reading it.
Mm.
And men of a certain age, when they start to chuckle, they do the whole shoulder lifting thing.
Oh, very good. How gratifying.
And then they laugh out loud. And then if you're on a plane, you get frowned at. I was frowned at all the way back from Greece yesterday.
Oh, I'm delighted.
This book, seriously, I was guffawing with laughter. It's not going to be an awkward conversation, genuinely.
Hoorah!
I was laughing my socks off. And not only that, because the thing is that for anybody who's listening now, this book, as you say, it is all about ageing. I guess it's anybody who's over the age of 30 and possibly under the age of 60 is going to identify. You are a bit of a potty mouth, aren't you?
Yes, very much. I love swearing. I shan't swear. I shall abstain.
No, please don't.
It's a bit early in the morning. But no, I think a kind of judiciously placed expletive is a good thing.
I always enjoy a good swear. Obviously not on the radio, otherwise my career would be very short. The book itself, it's about a lady called Clara.
Mm-hmm.
There is some mention of Bagpuss, which is always good in my book. And
absolutely.
And also Hamble, that dreadfully named doll in
Hamble.
I'd forgotten about Hamble.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
How on earth do you, when you start to write a book, you're writing through this lady called Clara, she's 46 years old. How do you write through her eyes, ears and brain and then also manage to be the book narrator as well? How do you manage that in your mind?
I manage it. The very honest answer to that is that she's not a million miles away from me, Clara, and it's the third one of my novels that she's featured in. She's kind of all the better bits of me and some of the worst bits of other people. Lots of people in my novels are kind of composites. So I find it very easy to channel that voice. She's much more kind of brutal and honest with herself than I am, perhaps. But, you know, it's not like I hear voices at night, but it's quite an easy thing to do for me.
And the story itself is all about this lady who's 46, and then her friend, who's actually a little bit older than her, turns up. Her friend's been living in LA for 10 years.
Her friend's in her early 50s and turns up looking 35.
Yes.
And Clara is puzzled and doesn't understand how she's done it, because there's no obvious sign. She doesn't look like a sort of cosmetic surgery freako, you know. She looks great. And that sets in process a whole kind of chain of thinking from Clara, who's broadly against any kind of cosmetic intervention, but who starts reconsidering things when she sees this woman milling about her house, skipping about, gambling like a lamb, when she, Clara, feels more like mutton.
This is true, but also the things from a bloke's point of view, because as you say, it's not really written for people like me, but...
Well, it is. I mean, hopefully it's written for everybody, but, you know, just by virtue of the fact that I'm a woman writing about cosmetics and vanity... That's all I meant. I didn't mean it wasn't for men.
The thing that really got me going, it's actually right at the beginning. You start off with a sort of A to Z of things that show that you're signed that you're aging. Presumably, these are things that you've just been guffawing about and just laughing. That particularly, I mean, the first one, oofing, when you sit down, when you don't even need to. And sort of like, as you get in the bar.
Yeah, I've been doing that for years.
I do that.
To be fair, I've been doing it since I was about 25. So it's either I'm prematurely aged or, you know. But it is, you know, those pleasures take on a kind of greater significance as you get older, I think. Really comfy chair, really nice deep bath, you know.
I can't ask you this question, but I'm going to anyway. A lot of this book is about cosmetic surgery. Have you had any?
I have recently had Botox again for the first time in about 4 years. But
have
look,
you?
Look, I'm waggling my eyebrows.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah. Are your eyebrows high? Because, I mean, it's
no, my eyebrows are high. My eyebrows are high anyway.
You could have just avoided that question. It was very unfair I think,
you know, one of the reasons I wanted to write the book is I think people should be much more honest about all of this stuff. And I wish people who had stuff done fessed up. Because actually, and I, you know, couldn't possibly name any names, but you go to, there are lots of things about cosmetic surgery. One is that it's still completely unregulated, although that's changing. So terrifyingly, anybody with a needle and a bit of botulism toxin can kind of jab you in the head for very little money. The results are not going to be good and it's really not safe. So in London, there are only about four really good Botox practitioners. So you go to them and you see people in the waiting room, and some of them are quite well known. And you think, oh, you're the person who's quite well known for, among other things, aging naturally and never having anything done. And actually, you know, they've had brilliant small work done, and I wish they'd say.
I sense that the book does go through quite a bit of this sort of process, who's had what, there was a lot of sort of personal stuff that you'd seen perhaps over the years, particularly in your sort of guys as ergonomist. I mean, what do you make, for example, Lord Sugar? He has backed this year's winner of The Apprentice. He's going to set up a chain of Botox salons. I mean, is that a good thing? Should we make it more sort of public?
I'm not convinced that that's a brilliant idea, no. But I think that there is a desire for that kind of thing. And I think the more we go, oh, it's not right, it's completely wrong, it's terrible, you know, you're a sort of vain, awful, shallow woman if you have this kind of thing done, the more we really kind of don't help the situation and drive it underground, if that's not too overdramatic. But the idea, it's difficult, you know, what the book tries to unravel is the idea that women should have some sort of weird duty to not age, which is sinister and creepy and wrong, combined with the fact that it's entirely possible to wake up one morning, find an enormous wrinkle in your forehead and go, I'm not having it, I don't like it, I want to make it be gone. Now, the fact that you want to make it be gone doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you're going to end up like the Bride of Wildenstein. But it's murky territory, all of this, which is why I wanted to write about it.
And when we talk about ageing, I mean, one of the things that really did make me laugh was when you started to talk about the sort of relationship, if you like, that this character, the Lee character in the book, has with her children. We have a major changing relationship with children in our lives and the things that they are allowed to do. And presumably this again comes because, I mean, let's be honest, your personal life, there's a litany of sort of history of interesting characters, of extraordinary, I suppose, home life, not only from your home life as you were growing up, but also your children as well. We have to take that into account. And it was very interesting just how many points of what you were talking about presumably affect families up and down the land.
Yeah, I also wanted to make in the book a really kind of happy, complicated family that was really happy, because that's my personal experience, both in my personal life now and in my childhood. There were separations and divorces and all the rest, and the constant things were the children, and the children had a really nice time. You know, the children got on with everybody. I'm not suggesting that either I or my mother had sort of giant sequences of relationships or husbands or partners, but I think, you know, today the average family is as likely to be a separated family as it is to be a nuclear family. And I think it's important to address that, because again, people assume very often that where there is a rupture in the family, there is sorrow and misery and disaster and people on non-speaks with other people. And I don't think that's necessarily true anymore. I think that's a very old-fashioned view.
I think it is a very old-fashioned view, but something which is not old-fashioned is Mutton. It's out now. It's available on paperback, $7.99, and as an e-book. Indie Night, I'm delighted that that was not an awkward conversation.
God, so am I. Oof.